Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you, brother. Thank you. We're excited to be here today. We're excited to be online with us if you're online. Hey, guess what? Today is what?
Sunday.
It's a good day, right?
Yes.
It's also the last Sunday of what?
Of 2024.
Are y'all excited for a new year to come around? Are y'all wanting to see a change in your lives for that new year? I know God has something for us, amen, for us to be able to change our lives and live a happier 2025 than what we may be doing right now in 2024, amen. So with that, your title today is this, Clothed in Christ's Character, Growing in Wisdom. Clothed in Christ's Character, Growing in Wisdom. Your main scripture is going to come from the book of Luke, chapter 2. Verse 41 through 52. Luke 2, 41-52. NIV version says it this way. Every year Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, let me state that, they went up to the festival according to the customs. After the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus, everybody say boy Jesus.
Boy Jesus.
Amen. The boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them, and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know that I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and with man. Amen. Let's pray real fast. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all you do for us, Lord. Lord, as always, we ask you, be with us through the rest of the service, Lord. Lord, as always, may it be your word spoken and not mine, Lord. May you use your Holy Spirit to open our hearts, our souls, and our minds, Lord, for the blessing and the message that you have for us today, Lord. Lord, as always, may you be with the rest of the service. In your name I pray. And everybody say it.
Amen.
Amen. We're going to come back to that here in a little bit. Think about that. Baby Jesus. Well, 12-year-old Jesus. Got a question for you. What would happen to us today as parents if we left our 12-year-old somewhere for 3 days before we figured out they were gone? I got a feeling CPS, the cops, everybody was showing up at the door. And we wouldn't have the kid with us no more, would we? Amen? But they were able to go back and get him, right? Baby Jesus. It's time for some love from baby Jesus, amen? Hey, your first scripture is actually going to come from the book of Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 through 17. Colossians 3, 12 through 17. We'll get to that here in just 1 second. But we want to turn our attention to Paul's letter to the Colossians, specifically in chapter 3, in these verses 12 through 17. These verses provide us a beautiful blueprint for living as followers of Christ, calling us to embody his character in each of our daily lives. Let's read the passage together. Again, Colossians 3, 12 through 17 says this. "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, with kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against somebody. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all of these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of Christ are of one body, you are called to peace. and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. For whatever you do, whether it in word or in deed, do it all in the name of Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the God, the Father through Him. Amen. Through these verses, we can see our true identity in Christ. In verse 12, Paul begins by reminding us who we are. We are God's chosen people. Amen. We're holy and dearly loved. This identity is not based on our works or anything that we've done, is it? Or our merits. But it's on God's grace, on God's love, on God's mercy. Amen. Knowing who we are in Christ is the foundation for how each one of us should live. We're chosen, aren't we? God set us apart. He set His love upon us, calling us into His family. We're also holy. We're set apart for His purpose, not our purpose. Amen? We're to reflect. We're called to reflect on His holiness through our lives. And we're also dearly loved. God loves us. For God's love for us is immeasurable, and it's also unconditional. Recognizing this identity motivates each one of us to live in a way that honors Him. We also see that we're cloaked in His virtues. Verse 12 to 14, Paul uses the metaphor of clothing to describe the virtues that we are to put on. The first one is compassion. A heart sensitive to the needs and the sufferings of others. We also have kindness, acting in a way that reflects God's goodness and greatness through us. We should demonstrate humility, shouldn't we? A posture of dependence on God and putting others before ourselves. And we also see gentleness, don't we? We have to have strength under control, responding to others with grace, not meanness, amen? And we also have patience. How many of y'all have a hard time being patient with people? Amen? We got to endure difficult situations with people without losing hope in them. He emphasizes forgiveness for us, reminding us to forgive as the Lord has forgiven. And finally, Paul declares that love itself is the virtue that binds all of them together, creating unity and completeness. Love is truly the hallmark of a life transformed by Christ Himself. We also see the rule of Christ's peace in this verse 15. Paul calls us to let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts. This peace is not merely the absence of conflict, is it? But it is the presence of Christ's holiness in our lives, that we live each and every day in harmony with Him. So we have to let peace rule. It's hard sometimes, isn't it? Letting Christ's peace to govern our decisions and our relationships. Because we are truly called to peace. We're members of one body. We're called to live in a unity and harmony with each other. And we should be thankful for it, amen? And gratitude is a natural response to God's peace in our lives. But we also see the richness of Christ's message. In verse 16, Paul encourages us to let the message of Christ dwell richly among us. This involves this. It involves us teaching. It involves admonishing. We've got to be sharing wisdom and truth with one another. But in love, right? Not in meanness, right? In love. And we also have to worship. We have to sing hymns, psalms, spiritual songs with gratitude in our hearts. When the word of Christ fills our hearts and our minds, it overflows into our relationships and worship. But we also have to live for Christ's glory, don't we? Verse 17, Paul concludes by urging each one of us to do everything. How much? Everything. In word and deed, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Giving thanks to God the Father through Him. This means this. We have to have Christ-centered living. We have to get ourselves again out of the way. Amen. We have to make Christ the focus and the motivation of everything and all that we do. And we have to have grateful hearts. We have to cultivate a spirit of thankfulness in all circumstances, no matter what we might be going through. Amen. We have to live for Christ's glory. Our lives become a testimony of His love and His grace. So today I ask you to do this. One, examine your wardrobe. Are you clothed in compassion? Are you clothed in kindness, in humility, in gentleness, and patience? Ask God to help you put on these virtues each and every day. Are you practicing forgiveness? Reflect on God's forgiveness in your lives and extend that same grace to others that you come across. Do you pursue peace? Seek ways of unity and harmony in your relationships. Do you dwell in the Word? Make time to study and meditate on Scripture, adding or allowing it to shape our thoughts and our actions. And the last thing is this: do we live for Christ? We got to commit everything that we're doing in the name of Jesus. We're doing everything in the name of Jesus with a heart full of gratitude. So as God's chosen people, we're called to a higher standard of living. We're clothed in Christ's character, aren't we? We're ruled by His peace. We're enriched by His Word and motivated by His glory. Our lives become a reflection of His love. May we go forth today, empowered by the Holy Spirit, to live out this calling and bring honor to His name. And again, getting back to the main scripture there, Luke 2:41-52. It's a unique passage that gives a glimpse into the life of Jesus between infancy and adulthood. A lot of times we don't hear about what was going on as a child, do we? But this passage truly gives us that unique glimpse. It's a story that captures a specific moment in Jesus' development and offers a profound lesson for our journey, our faith journey. We have to look back at the contents. It was a faithful family that Jesus lived in, wasn't it? The passage began by introducing us to Mary, to Joseph, and to a young Jesus as they make their annual pilgrimage to Jerusalem for the Feast of the Passover. This detail underscores the family's deep commitment to the law and to the reverence for God. How faithful are we in building spiritual habits and leading our families in the ways of the Lord? Do we do it like they do? This story itself challenges each one of us to prioritize God in our routines and our traditions. We also see the separation, don't we? Jesus stayed behind. After the feast, Mary and Joseph began their journey home, assuming that they were traveling in a group with their son. But when they realized that he was missing, they returned to Jerusalem to search for him. Their anxiety, I would say, is probably relatable to some of us today. Amen. But Jesus himself was not lost, was he? He was exactly where he was meant to be. He was in the temple. Amen. He was there with people that knew. He wasn't lost. Get that. Have you ever felt distance from Jesus? Have you ever felt that like Mary and Joseph probably did at that point? This passage reminds each one of us that when we seek Him earnestly, we will find Him. Amen. Just like when they went back to find Him, He was there. Amen. All we got to do is turn around. He's there if we left Him. We also see Jesus in the temple. After 3 days, Mary and Joseph find Him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to Him, asking questions. The crowd was amazed at His understanding and His answers that He was giving back. At 12 years old, Jesus demonstrates both His humanity and His divinity. His hunger for God's Word reflects His identity in the Son of God. or as the Son of God? Do we prioritize spending time with God in our lives, in His presence, and studying His Word? Are we eager to grow like they were in our understanding of Him? And the response that He got back, did you not know? Did you not know? Mary expresses her distress, and Jesus' response reveals His awareness of His divine mission. Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house? This marks the first time in Luke's Gospel that Jesus refers to God as His Father, signifying His unique and relationship with Him. Jesus' obedience to His Heavenly Father takes precedence, but He also honors His earthly parents, don't He, by returning with them to Nazareth. This balance of devotion and obedience challenges each one of us to align our priorities with God's will while respecting the roles that He has placed in each one of our lives. We also see the growth of Jesus, His development, don't we? The passage towards the end concludes by noting that Jesus grew in wisdom, stature, and favor for God, or with God and man. The holistic growth underscores the importance of the cultivating our spiritual, our intellectual, and our physical and relational lives. Are we intentionally about growing in every area of our lives as Christ follows? How can we reflect His examples in our daily walk? This scripture teaches us about Jesus' identity, His priorities, and an example. Like Mary and Joseph, we may not always understand what God's plan is, amen, but we are called to trust and to seek Him. As we reflect on this passage, let us commit to deepening our relationship with Christ, prioritizing His will, and growing in His likeness. So again, we have a chance for spiritual growth. We got to have that as our priority. Jesus had a unique relationship with the Father, didn't He? Again, at 12 years old, He expresses an understanding of His divine identity and purpose by saying that He had to be in the Father's house. He revealed a deep connection to God Himself. This moment shows us that even at a young age, Jesus prioritized His spiritual relationship above all else. He was also found sitting in the temple. The temple was, at that point, the center of worship and teaching, symbolizing God's presence among His people. And Jesus deliberately chose to stay there, emphasizing the importance of being where spiritual growth occurs. He truly is a model for us today, isn't He? Jesus' actions highlight the significance of seeking God intentionally and consistently. Spiritual growth itself is not accidental, is it? It requires deliberate choices by each one of us, just as Jesus made a deliberate choice to remain in His Father's house. We need to examine what our priorities are. In our busy lives, what competes for our time? What competes for our attentions? Work, is it work? Is it entertainment? Is it social obligations, often taking precedence over our spiritual growth? Matthew 6:33 tells us this: seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. We have to get some practical steps for prioritizing God. We got to have daily time in God's Word. We got to commit to a regular Bible reading and a study. Start with a manageable plan for you, like maybe one chapter a day or so. We have to also be in prayer. We have to develop an active prayer life where we not only speak, but listen to God. Amen. Prayer is a true way street. And we also have to worship in fellowship. We got to participate consistently in corporate worship and in small groups where we can grow with others. And by doing this, we'll cultivate a heart for God's presence. Jesus longed to be in the Father's house, didn't he? We have to develop that same desire by reflecting on the goodness and the faithfulness of God. Psalm 42:1 says, "As a deer pants for the streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O my God." We have to be that deer panting for the water in our spiritual walk, in our want. As we come for the closing song, let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I again thank you for getting me out of the way today, Lord. Lord, I thank you for each and everything that you do for us, Lord. Lord, I thank you for opening our heart, mind, and soul, Lord, to the blessing and the message that you have for us, Lord. Lord, I ask you just to put somebody in front of us this week, Lord. Lord, that we can tell about your mercy, your grace, and your love, Lord. Lord, I ask, and for somebody here today, Lord, that needs to get back a little bit closer to you, Lord. Lord, they would just raise their hand right now, Lord. Lord, in silent meditation, Jesus. Lord, we thank you for each and everything that you do, Lord. Amen. Everybody said?
Amen.